May we read a portion from 2 Timothy 2, the second chapter of 2 Timothy. And from verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ, the name of the Lord, depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, love, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Together with comments on this important portion, I would like to mention something of the work of the Lord at one's hands in South America. We notice here a particular statement, beloved. The foundation of God standeth sure. You will excuse a personal testimony, a brief testimony. At the beginning of the First World War, I entered a seminary in the city of Melbourne and spent 4 unhappy years in that theological seminary. And, beloved, I came out of that seminary with my faith practically ruined. I was taught there that Daniel was mythology and that the book of the Revelation was also mythology, with very little blessing to anyone who even thought to read it. I was taught that a man, when he died, was annihilated like any ordinary animal. And, beloved, a whole lot more of these unfortunate things were entered my poor soul. The Lord delivered me from all that confusion through the reading of Mr. Darby's books. My brother Hugh was happily gathered unto the Lord's name, and he, knowing the danger where his brother was, he sent me a set of Mr. Darby's books, and also a set on the Pentateuch of C.H.M. writing. And, beloved, I tell you that those books delivered me absolutely from a worn-out ecclesiasticism. Now, with the years, I noticed some changes. I've lived nearly 39 years in Bolivia, shut in with God, and with the natives. And when I come out of that land to a favored land like this, I get some surprises. I've just come from San Antonio, and every day went out with tracts, and I handed the American people good English tracts. And 90% of them spoke to me in this way, "I don't want any of that stuff." The Mexicans received those tracts gladly, and one was privileged to have meetings every day in the square. "I don't want any of that trash." And you know, I said to those Americans, I said, "Sirs, do you know that you're rejecting the very thing that has made this country a mighty country?" And they said, "Are you an American?" I said, "No, sir. I'm a Bolivian. And I'm surprised that you would reject the truth that has made America great." And he said, "Let me have a look at the track, will you?" And he took, some of them took stuff. Now, if I'm wrong, beloved, you'll correct me after this meeting. I do really believe in my soul that Christendom has rejected the truth largely. And God is working in South America among those poor Catholics, Roman Catholics, gathering out a people for his name. God is at work there. I really believe in my soul that Christendom in general has rejected the truth. Now some of us hold truth, but the truth doesn't hold us. And that's sad. Coming back to this verse, the foundation of God remaineth sure. It's assured. It's God's truth. "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thou hast exalted thy name above, thy word above thy name." We count upon God's truth. Dear Brother Brown often says, the word works. It's true, dear Brother Brown, the word works. Having this seal, the apostle says, the Lord knoweth them that are his. That is the universal church. Every blood-bought believer, the Lord knoweth them that are his. I don't, you don't, we don't know, but he does. He does. The Lord knoweth them that are his. But the apostle doesn't stay there. "And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ, the name of the Lord, depart from iniquity." That brings us to the local assembly, with its responsibilities, does it not? Where discipline is exercised, where communion is enjoyed, and how sweet it is to have fellowship one with another. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we walk in the light as he is in the light. "And let everyone that nameth the name of the Lord depart from iniquity." It's a terrible thing, beloved, to be plagued with ecclesiastical iniquity. and it takes years to throw it overboard. Lately, I have been joined by an ex-priest called Forero. This verse led him to quit system, and he's happily gathered to the precious name of Christ today, and is carrying on for God in company with his wife and his children. Louis Forero. That dear man was saved years ago through the reading of the scriptures. And I believe he came in contact with a certain missionary whose name I do not remember. But there is a man whose testimony will bring tears down one's cheek. What it cost him to come out of that system. His own brother, who was sympathizing with him, is dead long ago. God, in his loving kindness and mercy, has preserved Forero from the poison cup and all the rest of it that goes with persecution. We know something of the wiles of that system, Satan's masterpiece. I speak out a little frankly, I expect you'll excuse. I've lived all these years in the midst of dear Roman Catholics, and they don't mind you speaking the truth. This dear man is happily gathered to the precious name of Christ. He thought that all the sects and all the missions were equal. That is to say that they were all on the same apostolic basis. But he discovered that he was in the wrong place. He joined up with the Baptists and found that they were not walking in the truth, only part of it. And then he joined up with the Pentecostals. He found them with their excess concerning the Holy Spirit. And then he tried the Methodist, and he found other problems there. That they were not continuing in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in communion, breaking of bread and prayers. And so this dear man of God, he wandered to several missions and to brethren called open, with the result that he was unhappy. And in his dilemma, the Lord led me to look him up as he was getting ready to quit Bolivia and go into Paraguay. And he was stayed there on the border. The truth gripped his soul, and he came out for Christ and was gathered to his precious name. Now that's something to praise God for. He said, Brother Smith, for 15 years I was tied to that system, in chains to that system of Romanism. And I was almost tied again in the system of Protestantism. Oh, what a deliverance. And yet, we are growing, beloved, a little indifferent to those things most surely believed among us. You'll forgive me if I'm mentioning this, but I note the slipping. May the Lord have compassion on us, beloved. God loves us. It's a wonderful thing to walk in the truth by His grace. I was thinking the other day of the home call of Dr. Deck, whom I knew so well, and all the family. He's at home with the Lord, Dr. Deck. That's the son of our brother Deck, the writer of the hymns, who wrote 41 of these lovely hymns in this beautiful little hymn book. And you remember how Mr. Deck, who brought the truth to the land where I was born, New Zealand, and some assemblies were formed in the South Island of New Zealand, where my brother learned the truth. He's now the Lord Mayor's brother. He learned the truth of separation there, the truth of the one body. Then Mr. Deck slipped. Oh, how frail we are. How much we need to depend upon God, beloved. We can't keep ourselves for one moment. Not for one moment. Unless He keep His hands of love upon us, we're capable of anything. Oh, we do need to feel our utter dependence upon God in these days of stress and weakness. Mr. Deck failed, and the Dr. Campbell took over the work, directly associated with Bethesda. The result was that all his children drifted anywhere and everywhere, and the testimony was blotted out to this day, as far as I can learn. But, thank God, even though the church is in ruins, and we find it there in Acts 20 doing on, when the Apostle Paul could not even commend those disciples to anyone but to God and the word of His grace, the ruin was there. The ruin was there even in those early days. But a brother made mention today of the church, that is to say the professing church, is in ruin. The church in its outward aspect, shall we say, is in ruin. And that nearly upset Deaforero. And he learned that in the mind of God it was ever perfect. He said, Brother Smith, I'm happy now. That God will maintain a testimony in this scene until we are snatched away, unless the thought caught up in Thessalonians is snatched away. We've translated that into the Inca language. Snatched away even as from danger. He will maintain a testimony in this scene until the Lord snatches His own out of the scene. He'll maintain a testimony in the mind of God that's ever perfect. Oh, that was such a joy to Foreno, joy to Foreno. He just praised the Lord for half an hour there, that in the mind of God that's ever perfect. We went over this for hours, we went over this portion of the rain. And I like to think of some of the remarks of Abraham. He mentioned something about the great house. In a great house, we read in verse 20, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also wood and of earth, and some to honor, and some to dishonor. This great house, he said, I've left part of it, brother, the system, Romish system, and I've left the other section of it, Protestantism. And at last, he said, while in the mercy of the Lord, I'm gathered to His precious name. This great house, beloved, it's a tremendous system. Here it is all around us. And I was astounded, and yet not astounded, because God's word never fails. It reveals to us the truth. There was a great get-together of all the churches in this land. I say of all the churches, most of them. And I read that on that platform was a Methodist and a priest and a Presbyterian, and a Baptist, and a Pentecostal, and all the rest of them were on that planet. And these words were used. It was a wonderful time because there we maintained the unity of our spirits. Ah, beloved, that's a lie of Satan. We are not to keep the unity of our spirits at all. We are to give diligence to keep the unity of these spirits. God in that uniting bond of peace. And I was interested in our brother Wilson's article concerning Romanism. Very soon, Protestantism will have a head over all and will take place in a remarkable way after the catching away of the bride. Rome will dominate. Even this present Pope is talking about getting all the children together under one Pope, into one Pope, one shepherd. That's where it's going, beloved. And there's no doubt after the catching away of the bride, it will run quickly to apostasy. Oh, beloved, this great house, you get something of it in the parables, don't you? The grain of mustard seed, that small seed that's scarcely visible to the eye, grows into a tree. And there the birds of the air find room to make their nest, build their nest in it. Is that not a picture of it? As one of our Indian brethren in ministering from that, he says, Brother Smith, you have unclean birds there, don't you? And you have clean birds all taking roosting in that tree. I said, yes, well, that's true. And he says, is that a picture of the professing church? Indeed it is. One of our Indian brethren in ministering from that, he says, Brother Smith, you have unclean birds there, don't you? And you have clean birds all taking roosting in that tree. I said, yes, well, that's true. And he says, is that a picture of the professing church? Indeed it is. Someone, when I left that particular system, one of the main men in it came to me before I left Australia, and he said, Brother Smith, you've quit us, but he says you've done the right thing. You've done the right thing. And he was the leading man in the Australasian section of that Baptist affiliation. You've done the right thing. He said, God alone knows the sadness in my soul in this great house. Now that dear man, he's with the Lord. But before he went to be with the Lord, he sent me a nice little printing press to Bolivia to remind me of his love for me. I wonder whether he was gathered or not before he died. This great house, some of us, beloved, we're getting too accustomed to the customs of this great house. Are we not? I feel rebuked in my soul and I humble myself before the Lord about it. And it's an occasion when we should humble ourselves, beloved, about this matter. I'm amazed, beloved, to see how many Christians are marrying Roman Catholics and getting into the great house, lost to the Testament. What communion have light with darkness? There's no communion. What communion Christ with the devil? There's no communion. What communion the faithful with the unfaithful? I'm translating from the ink. I can't remember my English sometimes. You must pray for me about this English language. I don't have expressions sometimes. But the Lord is helping me to come back. What communion is there light with darkness? No communion. I want to tell the young people of what happened to one of our brightest Christians. Nestor, I helped through the university, paid for him. He was a dear brother in fellowship and was such a useful brother and was one of the nobility of that country. Very few of the nobility of Bolivia ever get saved. We have one or two in our meetings, and one is dear Don Pastor Leandro Villegas of Ichacla, and the other is our ex-governor, Gil Villegas, who lives in Villasón. These are very few ever come to Christ. And I said to Nestor, now you've finished your college work, the Lord will bless you, but take care of these unequal yokes. A few months afterwards, he came to me and he said, Brother Smith, I'm going to get married. Oh, I said, Nestor, how wonderful. He was then 32 years of age. I said, now that's precious. Is she a believer? Is she a Christian? No, he said, she's not, but I'll win her. I'll win her. I said, brother, you know the truth. You're going against that precious word. What communion hath light with darkness? I'll win her, brother. Don't you worry. That dear man, 15 years afterwards, I saw Nestor. A broken man. I said, Nestor, have you won her? And he said, no, brother. And the tears came down his cheeks. No. She's farther away than ever, and my 5 children are all Roman Catholics. A lost dynamic. It's not sufficient to even dwell on such things, even as marital things, but when it comes to ecclesiastical things, when it comes, beloved, to a false position spiritually, then surely we ought to take notice. We excuse ourselves sometimes by saying, oh, man is a failure. What shall we do? Man is a failure. But God never fails. His truth never fails. God never fails. Man is indeed a failure. You've only to look at the dispensations to find that out. We take our believers through the dispensations that they fall not into the errors of Pentecostalism and other errors of the system. Take the first dispensation, beloved, of innocence. How did it end? With our first parents driven out of the garden. And the second dispensation of conscience, it ends with the flood. And the third dispensation of authority, it ends with the Tower of Babel confusion. And the fourth ends with the Son of God nailed to a cursed tree. And at the end of this dispensation, not forgetting that intervening portion concerning Abraham, but at the end of this, the Lord Jesus is coming to take us out of the sea of one, that moment of all moments, as Brother Hagel says, that moment of all moments we wait for. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with that archangelical voice, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up, snatched away to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort you one another in these words. The Lord himself, those reflexes are so important, the Lord himself. Our brother Wilson was speaking of the risen Christ in glory, and we translate that having purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in the heavens. That's how we translate it in the Inca. And beloved, the essence of Christianity is this, a risen Christ in glory and the Spirit of God in your hearts and minds. The essence of Christianity. But we're ignoring that blessed Holy Spirit. The liberty of the Spirit of God is being given another place. Turn for a moment to the question of Sardis, just for a moment. In the 3rd chapter of the book of the Revelation, unto the angel, verse 1, unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the 7 spirits of God. This is the fullness, of course, as you know, with which the Lord will govern. God will govern this earth. Christ will govern this earth, rather. The 7 stars, supreme authority. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Rightfully they are worthy, and so on. Here we have the beginning of Protestantism. You'll remember that in the year 1529, there was an awakening, and there was another awakening in 1827, when truths that were forgotten for centuries were brought out by the power, in the power and unction of the Spirit of God. And it's these truths which we humbly went through in Peru with the believers there. Take, for instance, the truth of the one body and the sovereignty of the Spirit of God and the heavenly calling and the rapture. We went through these truths humbly and simply, and it's remarkable how those poor Romans responded to it. I never saw anything like it, beloved. Now, I'm always very preoccupied in my soul when a number of folk come out among the letters. It's something that causes deep exercise of soul. But there in Peru, in Lima, the most fanatical city of South America, God is at work. For 10 years, there were half a dozen men praying for the truth to be brought to them. And you remember the name of that banker brother, Raul Valderrama? That man, he's an aristocrat. Thank God he loves the common people. Those distinctions are very, very real among the Latins. An aristocrat never mixes up with the poor people. But here is dear Raoul, in love with all these poor saints, poor souls, and he wrote me saying that he was going to look around the outskirts of Lima if he could find some believers. And he wrote me that he had found 6 who were truly born again and who had been praying for years for the truth to be brought to them. And he said, Brother Smith, won't you come and have a few meetings with me? Well, you remember, beloved, I was down at death's door with fever. And he gave me strength to get out of bed and go. And it was like something apostolic. They were all waiting in a room crowded out, waiting for the truth. The very first night, they even stood up in their seats with their hands held up to heaven, weeping and praising God for the truth. Roman Catholics at one time who had been saved with a simple faith and who were desirous of knowing the truth and when it was brought to them. Well, I don't like to mention numbers. But for prayer, and I want you to pray, beloved, for that testimony. 80 of them came out from system in 12 nights. 80 of them. I never saw anything like it. We started the meeting at 8 o'clock. At 11 o'clock, half past 10, 11 o'clock, they were still there. I got tired out, and they went on. I don't know how late after that, but a brother always sent me back to that little old hotel where I was. He sent me back so as I'd get some sleep. I couldn't sleep thinking of them. And they went on with the meeting. The Spirit of God was working there. We have seen blessing, beloved, in Bolivia. I was telling a to God be all the glory. There's no good in us. We're nothing to us. But God has done it. He's worked. And a brother was asking me how long I'd been there. And I said, well, over 38 years, beloved. And he says, how many believers? I said, I don't know. But there are hundreds of them all over that southern section of Bolivia. There wasn't one there when we went. Praise God for that. God's Spirit is at work in that country. But think of those poor things in Lima. Tied to a system, and then tied to Protestantism, longing for something, and they found it in this simple orphan that we're reading this afternoon. And let everyone that nameth the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. This great house, they understood it. There are not only vessels of gold, that speaks of glory, does it not? And silver speaks of redemption. Some also of wood and of earth. Some to honor and some to dishonor. Brother Valderrama wrote me saying, shall we remain in this mixed up, Brother Smith, or shall we try and reform it? And I wrote him a little note saying, brother, read that verse again. If any man purge himself from me, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, meet for the master of you, and prepared unto every good work. Oh, beloved, we'll never reform its confusion. It's plain. God's word is to come out from among them and touch not the unclean, and I will be to your father, and you will be my son and daughter. Lord Almighty. Beloved, it's a call to us this afternoon to do it. I would like to mention something about dear Valderrama. Some of you may have known how he was saved. I believe it's well pleasing to the Lord to tell you again how he was saved. Years ago, I left a little sum of money in that savings bank where he is the chief, thinking that my beloved wife, now with the Lord, as you know, it would come in handy for her. If she ever passed through that, if ever I went to be with the Lord before she went, it would come in handy for her. 10 years afterwards, I get there, but it was to that bank. But it was interesting how the Lord turned us back. You know, I came back with Francisco, our Inca brother, and we got, after 12 years of bouncing along those old rough roads of Bolivia and Peru, we got to the Peruvian border. And because we didn't have a complete visa in our passports, we were turned back. Now that was a blow for us. And Francis looked at me and I looked at him. And I said, brother, we'll have to obey and go back to La Paz. But there must be a purpose in this. God is permitting this. So we went round one of the corners and prayed about it. And we got a certain distance along the road sitting on top of a truck loaded with stuff. Then he said, well, I'm staying here for the night. You fellas can get off where you please. So we got off with our little bags just not a very great distance from the Peruvian border. We went into a hotel there and the boss of the hotel said, where are you fellas going? Well, I said, we're looking for a bed if we can find one. He says, well, I'm going to La Paz. If you folk want to go to La Paz with me, you'll get in there at 2:30 in the morning. It was then about 6 or 7 in the afternoon. I don't remember. He says, I'll take you if you'll pay $30 for the tour. So, away we went to La Paz. Now, we missed that combination in Lima, on the plane coming to this country, because we were turned back. We got another, there were 2 seats in the next plane, and we got to Lima in about 3 hours' time. And I went to this bank and asked for that little account. The secretary said, I'll take you to the bus, to the head. And he took me in, and this man, this aristocrat looked me over. He said, are you Eric Smith, the missionary from Bolivia? I said, yes, sir. He asked me 3 times. He said, are you really Eric Smith of Bolivia, the missionary? I said, yes, sir, I am. I said, here's my passport. And I showed him my passport. And what did he say? He says, well, I think God has sent you. I've got everything that this world can offer, but I've got nothing. He said, I've been to the priest, I've confessed to the priest, I've promulgated, and I've been to the missionaries and some of these reverend gentlemen. And he says, I'm in darkness. He said, can you help me? I said, of course I can if you obey this book. And I pulled out of a pocket my dear wife's Bible. And I said, I'll make you a present of that. It's in the Spanish. And he was quite moved about that, giving my wife's Bible to him. You know, we went and had dinner together, and at 2:30 in the afternoon, Raul Valderrama came out Brighton for Christ. Now, pray for him, beloved. He's been delivered from that awful system. His wife is still unsaved. She's still unsaved. And she can't make up her mind to go to the poor people. But dear Raul, he goes with these poor souls. And as I mentioned before, he looked up those 6 men. I have the photos of those men. I didn't take it, but another gave it to me. The photo of those 6 men. It's interesting, beloved, when there were some of these men came to argue the point with us. And the other saints said, there's no need to argue. God's word is, here it is, get down your knees, get down your knees. And they got down on their knees instead of arguing. The power of God came over them. And they couldn't argue about anything. They got down on their knees. There's need for ministry there of a godly order. And I'm just praying, and I know Brother Erisman won't mind if I mention his name. I hope our brother will then go and his wife too, so they can be there and get some peace on these things. There's one more verse. Flee also youthful lusts and follow righteousness, faith, love, and peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Beloved, we can't go on alone, and that came up in the meetings in Peru, in Lima. Are we alone? Dear Forero said, I think I'm alone, Brother Smith. I don't think there's another soul gathered like we are. I said, Brother, there are a lot of them. These are days of small things, we know, and they're not to be despised, praise God. But I said, there are other dear children of God who are truly gathered to the precious name of Christ and rejoice in it. He says, are there? And he wants to get in touch with some who are gathered to the precious name of Christ. Now, there's one little point I would ask for prayer, if you don't mind. There are 60 divisions in Protestantism in Peru. From these churches, discontented and distressed believers have separated, forming little groups. They're not gathered to the precious name of Christ. But there are several of our brethren in fellowship there, and there are 30 at the table now in fellowship there in 2 little halls. There are some of these who are going out and taking the word to these what we might call independent groups. Now, I don't like that word. Please don't misunderstand me. These have come out from sectarianism, and they're gathered simply without any pastor over them, and they read the scriptures and pray and bear a gospel testimony. It's to these dear men are going to teach them the truth of the one body, the truth of the heavenly calling of the believer, the truth of the Lord's coming, and that blessed truth that they knew nothing about, that the believer, the moment he departs this life, he's absent from the body, and present with the Lord. Beloved, that was a wonderful truth. They wept about it. The thought of it, the fact of it, absent from the body, present with the Lord. We talk of that as if it were nothing. To those dear souls, it meant so much, absent from
body and person of the Lord. They want to go out and take this blessed truth. This is Paul's gospel. This is Paul's doctrine that we're slipping over. We're not as diligent in it as we might be, beloved. Excuse me saying that, but I know. May the Lord have mercy on us and give us a zeal, a fresh zeal for these blessed truths that characterize the testimony and upon which the blessing of God so signally rests. Now in Argentine there are 40 divisions. Dear Morero says in one of his letters, if the Lord would open the way, let us go and take the truth. He says we're not to expect great things, but we expect God to honor His truth and gather out a people for His name. And in Paraguay, there are another 40 on the list. Just wondering, they don't know these truths that are so precious to our souls, we trust. And He's asking for prayer about going to them and taking blessed truth through them. These are some things that I've mentioned for prayer. Shall we just sing a hymn? Number 183, Savior come, thy saints are waiting for the nuptial day. Thence their promised glory dating, come and bear thy saints away. Come, Lord Jesus, bless thy waiting people. Pray.